Well, right now we're going to visit with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, my father. I'm filling in for him this week. Dad's been in Turkey. Dad, are you there?
I am, Jim, and man, it has been an exciting time. We were there with you as you led the tour throughout Israel and then over to Jordan to visit Petra. Had a marvelous time at that amazing aquarium there in Eilat, southernmost city of Israel. And then after that, we went out on the schooner for a couple of hours, had some snorkeling out there. People were able to see the beautiful fish that are there in the Red Sea near Eilat. And then, of course, we had a wonderful barbecue. But then after doing all that, having a little bit of relaxation, somewhat of a vacation on our 14-day tour, and that's hard to say we even had any kind of a vacation, we left and you departed. You took most of the group back to the United States, but about 12 of us made our way over here into Turkey. We have three of our students of our School of Prophets. It's a part of their curriculum to come to Turkey and visit the seven churches of Asia Minor, which would be those churches there in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Jim, it's just amazing. I know you have been into Turkey with us many times when you were on the production team for the Day of Discovery television program. Mom and I were coming along. I was co-teacher with Marty Hahn. But, buddy, you would not believe the changes that have been made at the different archaeological sites. It is so interesting to be able to be here in Turkey. You've got to remember, not only would those seven churches of Asia Minor in Revelation 2 and 3 be important to visit, but the journeys of Paul, very interesting. And Rick and I have been looking at your brother, of course. Rick and I have been looking at a possibility of doing the journeys of Paul, the missionary journeys, and combining that with the seven churches. Not sure we could get that all in a 10-day tour, but you've got to remember that the movement of the church started in Jerusalem, and there, of course, the first church established with James, the pastor of the church. But then, as the Lord had commanded the disciples, they started moving out into the world, and they went to the west. And west of Jerusalem, of course, is the modern-day state of Turkey, Asia Minor in the time of the visit by Paul in some of the churches and establishing churches out here, and of course the time of when John the Revelator would return from the Isle of Patmos, and as commanded, he would take those messages, those seven letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Of course, John was the pastor of the church at Ephesus at that time. And you know what's so interesting to me, Jim? The Apostle Paul, we were in Ephesus. There is a theater there in Ephesus that was built before John would have come along, back in the time of Alexander the Great, who was the leader of the Grecian Empire. He built the theater there, established a number of the cities. Pergamus would be one of them. And then when you go to Laodicea, he had a hand in establishing that. Actually, Alexander the Great was a major player in the history of what is modern-day Turkey. And it's just so amazing to realize how far back in history you go. Not as far back as you go in Israel, but pretty far back as it relates to at least the first century church. And there's a number of Old Testament sites and additional New Testament sites, the journeys of Paul, as I mentioned just a moment ago.
Dad, why don't you tell us about those seven churches of the book of Revelation that you visited?
You know, chapters 2 and 3, Jim, of Revelation talk about the messages that would be delivered by John the Revelator to seven churches. When you look at the Apostle Paul, he established in Acts chapter 19 the church in Ephesus. But then a number of years later, almost 40 years later, John comes along, up in age. I would imagine he was probably somewhere between 85 and 95 years of age. Remember, he was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, and in fact, the one that Jesus asked to take care of his mother, Mary, when he was on the cross. And so he came to pastor this church in Ephesus. Ephesus, at that time, was the second most influential city in all of the Roman Empire, second only to the city of Rome, a great city of influence when Paul came in, and read chapter 19 of the book of Acts. It'll give you some great insight into what happened. He started an uproar. He came in, he started and taught a group of people, Jewish people, talking and teaching them things about the kingdom for about a three-month period of time. That came to a conclusion, and then he went into the school of Tyrannus, and he taught there for about a two-year period of time. And Acts 19:10, Jim, says that the entire area of Asia Minor heard the gospel message. It's the greatest evangelistic effort ever made by the church any time in history, any place in the world. Now, that doesn't mean everybody came to know Christ as Lord and Savior, but every single person in Asia Minor some 2,000 years ago came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And that, of course, happened headquartered there in the church that was in Ephesus. Then when John comes to the leadership of the church, he becomes the pastor at the church at Ephesus. Now, that started an uproar as well. In fact, it went all the way to the leader of the Roman Empire. At that time, Domitian was the leader of the Roman Empire. He was so upset with the teaching and preaching of the Apostle John, and that's what Revelation 1 talks about. He was going to be imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos, which is about 45 miles off the coast where Ephesus is located, out there in the Aegean Sea. And he was imprisoned there under house arrest for a period of time because of his teaching of the Word of God and his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is where he got the book of Revelation. From that point, the command from Jesus in chapter 1 to John, which would result in the letters in chapters 2 and 3 to the seven churches. John was to deliver those churches these messages from Jesus Christ. We've had the privilege with our students from the School of Prophets and with some of the travelers along with us. We don't call them tourists anymore, Jim, because they're travelers. They are veteran tourists, and they know how to travel in from one country to another. So that's what we kind of told them. That think makes them think that they're, you know, big shots. But they are veteran travelers, and we've had a great time. We went to Ephesus. It's the most unique archaeological dig in all of the world, and the remains are the best of any place I've ever been. In Smyrna, there's not a whole lot of evidence of a church. They have a open field with some of the remnants of the archaeological artifacts that have been found. That was the second church, and these churches, Ephesus and Smyrna, are on the Aegean coastline as you come up the western side of modern-day Turkey. The third church, Pergamos, is also on the Aegean coastline as you make your way north. Pergamos has a fantastic archaeological remains, the beautiful Greek theater that's there, and it's referred to in the Bible, the location as the throne of Satan or the seat of Satan. Zeus was the god, the Greek mythical god that was there, and supposedly the father of all of the gods in all of Greek mythology. That was the location. Pergamos was where the mother-son cult started in Babylon some 4,500 years ago with Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz, ended up in operation. And that is why I believe that this location in Pergamos is actually referred to as the throne or the seat of Satan. Over to Thyatira, not a whole lot of archaeological remain there, very slight bit, in fact. Into Sardis. Now, Jim, you remember when we were doing Day of Discovery, I was one of the teachers and you and the production team. That was a beautiful location, the green around the mountain slopes. Those archaeological remains are kind of cozied in between the agricultural fields that are just ripe with the vegetables of Turkey. And they have a lot of great vegetables here. And this is a part of how their economy is operated. But Sardis has those very tall, tall columns. You might remember we stood by those tall columns there. Now, that was the temple of Artemis, which ultimately would be called Diana. It all dates back to Semiramis. It's the multi-breasted goddess that the pagan worshippers would worship. That was in Sardis. Went into Philadelphia, again, just a little garden place, some beautiful roses among some old ancient columns dating back to the times of the Romans, and a portion of the Roman road there. So that was very beautiful. I love Philadelphia because of the loyalty of the church. You might remember it says, you have little strength, but you've stood on my word and not denied my name. So I've opened a door that no man's going to be capable of closing. I got a message that I told the people about there. We, the minority, those of us that are of little strength, because we stand on the authority, the word of God, and do not deny his word, can reach the majority because the Lord opens the door and nobody can close it. But what was so surprising to me, Jim, was when we moved into Laodicea. You'll remember that dusty, dry, windy, dirty kind of a feel that we had to drive down an old dirt road to get to three columns that were out there seemingly in no man's land. I don't know who would ever have lived out there. But, Jim, it's amazing. Since 2003, the archaeologists have been out there digging, and they have brought that location alive. It's similar to what has been taking place there at Beit Shan in Israel. It's not quite as extensive yet as Ephesus, but it's just an amazing archaeological dig they're going on. And the Turkish government, Jim, is involved in this project because they want to give evidence to the world that Asia Minor was a major location, especially in light of Christianity and the movement of the church. So that's what we've been doing. We've had a fantastic time. We're all trying to go catch a nap before we catch a plane and go into Rome. We leave for Rome, Italy, tomorrow. But this is our second time in Istanbul. And, of course, while here, I was able to show the people the Blue Mosque, one of the largest mosques in the Islamic world. And in addition to that, Hagia Sophia, which is one of the first churches. Constantine named the city that is now Istanbul, Constantinople, when he declared to the world that everybody could become a Christian simply by being baptized. But it's a very, very interesting study, a biblical study, to visit these seven churches. And we're going to do it again, I believe, possibly even next year, if you and Rick can work it out. And we'll see if there's some others who'd like to come and enjoy. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, I was reading his commentary the other day, Jim, and Dr. McGee made this statement that he would think it more important to visit Asia Minor and these seven churches and the journeys of Paul than even going to Israel. I'm not sure that's exactly correct, but this is a very powerful study of God's word in the land where it all took place.
Well, those are the last words of Jesus Christ to the church, and that's so very important in why we teach Bible prophecy. And when we teach the book of Revelation, why we focus on those messages to the church. Dad, I'm sitting here as I listen to you describe the churches. I have a big smile on my face, and I remember as we were with the team of Day of Discovery in all those locations. Now, you and Rick have been working on a brand new video.
That is absolutely correct. This is going to be, I believe, one of our best videos because of the message, not necessarily the production. I hope and pray that's going to be good, but the message is so important. The message to the churches from Jesus Christ, as you said a moment ago, the last words that Jesus Christ said to the church. And so this video is coming together. We've got everything all taped. We'll get to post-production, see if we can get it ready. I'm going to be teaching at Word of Life this summer. I'm hoping to speak and teach from chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, the last words to the church, and we'll have been here recently and have that video ready to be distributed to the people.
Quickly, Dad, any problem with the riots that have been taking place there in Turkey?
You know, there have been some riots, Jim. We have not seen evidence of it. This is some type of a uprising against the present leadership, Tayyip Erdogan, who is the prime minister of Turkey. He's wanting to run for president of the country. He can only have two terms in succession as the prime minister. But Tayyip Erdogan used to be the mayor of Istanbul, and because of his Islamic leanings, he was taken out of that position. He formed a political party. They ran. They got the largest majority in the parliament. He was elected prime minister. He's been leading the country. Tayyip Erdogan, Jim, has a pan-Islamic leadership desire in his heart. He wants to be the leader of the entire Islamic world. You remember, this is where Islam actually came to a halt. It started there in Saudi Arabia, and it started moving westward as well, and the Ottoman Empire, back between 1400 and 1900, ruled this entire region of the world for that 500-year period of time. I think that Tayyip Erdogan, who is the present prime minister, wants to do that. And watching him politically and unfolding everything that's going on, you'd have to be aware of the fact that that is the case. But let me just conclude our conversation, Jim, by saying what is happening politically here in Turkey today with all the riots, with an effort to try to overthrow Tayyip Erdogan as the leader of the country, this fits into a prophetic scenario that's found in God's Word. We're talking about Ezekiel chapter 38, where it mentions in verse 2, Meshach and Tubal, and verse 6, Gomer and Togarmah. Those were grandsons of Noah, sons of Japheth, and that's chapter 10 of the book of Genesis. They went out and established nations, all the sons. Magog was one of them. He went north of the Caspian and Black Sea. He established what we know as modern-day Russia and the Ukraine. And Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarmah came south of the Caspian and Black Sea. They established the nation of Turkey. And Turkey will be one of those nations that forms an alliance against the Jewish state of Israel to try to wipe them off the face of the earth. And with the Islamic radical activities of Tayyip Erdogan, we see that stage set, Jimmy. Curtain's about to go up, and all the actors in place on the stage will start the final drama. I don't think we're very far away from that. Walking here in the land of Turkey is absolute evidence that Bible prophecy is about to be fulfilled.
Folks, we've looked at those messages to the seven churches. We've looked at what's happening today in Turkey, and we've looked at what's going to happen in the future in this land of Turkey that's talked about in Bible prophecy. Dad, thanks so much for joining with us today, and I look forward to your look at the book as you're going to wrap this all up and show us how it all fits in and pertains to Bible prophecy. But have a good trip, the rest of your trip, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Jim, for filling in, and we praise the Lord for the privilege of being able to communicate to the people listening to the broadcast prophecy today how current events are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled.